Hi there, and welcome. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy. And today, I don't have a guest, so we're going to wing it. Interesting timing. There is so much stuff going on, and so much upheaval, uncertainty, chaos, in all sorts of ways, distraction. So I have some tremendous guests coming up, and I've got some fabulous guests in the archives. As I'm looking back, I'm thinking, my gosh, 60 years plus of archives, and most of it one show a week, and some were two shows a week because I was an overachiever. I still got two shows a week. It just goes a different direction. With the Wendy's Coffee House, it's on radio, and here it's on internet. And between the two, though, I cover a lot of territory. So if you haven't had a chance to hear some of the other shows in either spot, wendyscoffeehouse.com is on the KCMO website, or Audio Boom, or you can check the blog, and I've got a link there. Put it up on the top so it's easier to get. If you have the phone, you don't have to sort through it. It's right up there under the title. You can find it there with a click. And the thing is, I did have somebody scheduled, and I thought, well, you know what? This is one of those times where it just happened. And I wanted to address some of the stuff that has come through. And the book Talking to Nightlights, when I got into all this, it was not premonition stuff. It was given to me in terms of things would be happening, earth changes, and the difference with the black hole stuff that then Stephen Hawking came out and validated that. There was another one that actually came out with Tutankhamun, and I thought, oh, why am I getting this stuff? Well, it was so I could vet it, so I could understand that sometimes when we get those little nudges and premonitions and insights in whatever form they happen, that it isn't always a right now thing. Sometimes, and it might seem, you know, it might seem kind of frightening, scary, or disconcerting some way, shape, or form, and it's, you know, just imminent. And then it's 10, 15 years later. With some of the stuff in that book, that's exactly what happened. I didn't get validation or confirmation on some of that stuff until it had been a decade. And it was fabulous to see it as it unfolded. But also knowing that a lot of the stuff out there right now in terms of prophecy and things that people are wanting, quick fix, and I know I'm dead right about this. It's going to happen, and I've seen it in my dreams, or I had, you know, so-and-so from the Pegasus galaxy, planet, dimension. One of those folks stepped in and told me that this is going to happen. Well, the cool thing about all of this, it's going to happen or not kind of stuff, is that no matter what we get, no matter how actual, factual, real, valid, in whatever it is, in fantastic terms, we're looking at the unknown. It's always an unknown until we manifest it. And so what to do when it's chaotic, like it is right now, is to remember why you are here. What is your purpose? What is your gift? What is your talent? These are times that really call us to remember why we chose to show up. And you may not know it in a way that you can verbalize it, or a way that you can say, this is for certain. I know, or you might have had, again, somebody from that Pegasus thing say, this is why you're here. Okay, I don't know how to make it more clear. I do know that each of us has an agreement. Each of us has a prime directive, and it has nothing to do with anything we have been told. It has to do with what we know, who we are. And if there is a question, if there is some kind of confusion, if there is a doubt, that's when you go back and say, okay, clarify. And higher self now is one of the things I've heard that I thought, well, that's a really good way to put it. For me, it's clarify. Give me a clue. Help me. Let me know for the greater good, for the highest good, if I'm on track. And then each of us has our own way of checking in to find out. Most of the time, how that's going to feel is a sense of you'll relax, the anxiety dissolves, a sense of certainty that, okay, I'm all right. There's a security that comes with that. And not there's not a drive. The anxiety just dissipates and it says, okay, there, you know, whatever is happening, there is a door through this. There is a light. There is a window. There's an escape hatch, an out clause. And most of that all revolves around your imagination, your ability to create your way up and out and through and around. One of the ways that we have been taught in our culture, and many of us, I can't speak for all, I'm not familiar with all cultures, but is that when there is an obstacle, oftentimes we are trained to confront, to deal head on with the obstacle. And that is one of the least effective ways. Because if you're going against power with the same force, you either have to use brute force, which then overpowers and either in some way, shape, or form, dethrones or destroys your adversary. And that isn't a win. That isn't a win because then it reforms. It comes back. It comes back. So instead of seeing that external as a concrete reality, we look to the science that's now giving us clues into our holographic presence, into this being a holographic world. That doesn't mean we don't get bruised, we don't get hit, we don't get injured. That material part is still a very real part of the equation. But if you've ever done, ever experienced, ever explored out of body, if you had a near-death experience, if you had any kind of transformative spiritual event, then you have a clue that this body is the vehicle. And what we do is very important in terms of challenge and choice, determination, belief, presence. So when things go haywire, upside down, total bonkers chaos, the goal is to remember, why am I here? What was my purpose before I got distracted? Because some of this stuff forces you to get the other autopilot responses, that quick knee-jerk reaction under control. Awareness that, oh my gosh, that's a knee-jerk response. That's a reflex. And it may be a reflex you didn't know you had until something comes up and this is the road rage thing. When people are on that hair trigger, they do things they do not believe they could have been actually programmed to have done because it's autopilot. And so stepping back from that and saying, is my first response a knee-jerk, a reflex, or it is a proactive thought, an intended response, an aware response? Am I present in my being? And when we come full center into knowing, I can be present in my body, I can be present out of body, and I can be present beyond all body. It's an amazing sense of knowing, of completion, of higher self-awareness. And when that comes into play, it gives you more freedom. It gives you freedom to explore, freedom to express, freedom to appreciate, freedom to be thankful for a way of knowing yourself and your own inner battles, your own inner sense. And sometimes it takes the external, the manifest, the physical, to show you in a way that you could not have anticipated until the class was called to order and you have to show up. So part of that I would not have talked about if I had scheduled and the guest would have been here. So, and I didn't intend to talk about it, but part of it is I've had some questions from friends and acquaintances saying, you know, this is just, it makes no sense. Why is this happening? Why are we in such upheaval? Where did it come from? We are human, and these are cycles. We are evolving, not only in a physical, very real physiological state, but in a physical, psychological consciousness, awareness. All of this comes to front and center when we have obstacles, challenges, battles, disagreements, obstacles that say you have to take a stand. Well, you can take a stand without going, you know, full front and center battle. You can step back. You can say, why am I here? Am I called to protest? Am I called to battle? Am I called to disagree? Or am I called to perform? Am I called to present? Am I called to embrace? What is it for you? That's what you know without anyone else telling you. Because if anyone else has to tell you, you're knowing, you've given your power away. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say, I'm open for suggestions. What is it I need to hear at this time? What would be beneficial to help me express what I know? And then it can come up because you have intended, you have asked, you have directed the universe to speak to you, whether it's a billboard, a person, a cloud, a dog, a cat, a cartoon. I like sci-fi. But those things will show up. And the deal is you have to be ready to connect the dots and awake enough to know that's what's happening. There's a reason something is coming into your sphere, into your presence, into your awareness. It's giving you the opportunity to make a connection and to bring your own being to full front and center presence. I read certain elements of channel material and of other material that's in, you know, inspired material, and then, you know, out and out fiction or autobiographies. And everybody has a story. Everybody has a way of dealing. Everybody has their own inner sense of this is what's right for me. And in that way, we are an amazing compilation of an incredibly creative spirit, an incredibly creative element that says in each and every one, there is a spark, a connection, a greater knowing, and a greater purpose. And sometimes we are here to challenge. Sometimes we are here to be the obstacle. We are here to be the wall. And we stand solid, front and center. I am the wall. I'm getting to I am the walrus, okay? Other times, we are the water, the fluid. No, I will not stand. I have no solid surface. I am fluid. I am fluent. I am free. So these are ways of being present in different forms. And with this stuff that's happening all around, I've had people who are truly incredibly, outrageously creative and inspiring, who are challenged to say, well, am I doing the right thing? Is this what I'm supposed to do? And that's what the chaos is for. Because the chaos actually helps us center. It gives us a purpose, and a very defined purpose. The purpose is, again, unique to each and every one, each and every creator. And part of it is, when there are things going on in the external world, you know, you tune into the daily news or whatever it is, your source of content. And with each encounter, engagement, with each thing that you take in, this is all food, all right? You're feeding your mind, and you're either getting on the, you know, the high calorie diet or the austere diet of I'm only going to have a cup of tea for the day. That's it. Well, that's what's happening with all of this stuff, all of this communication that's going on outside of you. A lot of it's just noise. And when you go back and say, what is the most powerful thing that I can feed my mind today? What is it that drives me, that centers me, that gives me purpose, that allows me to know all is well, no matter what the external manifest state presents, all is well. There are so many unique forms of disagreeing or of protesting or of, in some way, shape, or form, deciding to deviate, dissent, and collectively reflect an alternate timeline. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Nine is also an interesting number. If you do numbers or tarot, all of those things are connected. So what happens is you have to collect your own thoughts and determine what kind of a diet you're on. All right. And I've had people say, I'm checking out of Facebook. I'm checking out of LinkedIn. I'm checking out of all these places because I don't like what I'm seeing. There's too much. It just makes me angry, or I'm feeling anxious. I'm frightened. I don't like what's happening. And it's just, well, in that way, the diet is what's doing the damage. All right. The choice to disconnect is a powerful choice. The choice to eliminate those things that are not in your comfort zone. And some of these are just completely, it's like doing a puzzle, or these are actually extracurricular activities. And even though it may seem like a normal part of the day by this point, because that's the programming, get up in the morning, turn the radio off as you listen to the news, or however it is you wake up. Most people I know that do cell phones anymore. But the radio is there in some way, shape, or form for many, because it's reliable, it's free, and it's a part of a programming element. The younger you are, the less programmed you are to tune into that or to accept that as your only form of connection. But it has been there for a lot of years and decades. And television is the next best, in so many ways, programmer. And so each time you choose to turn in to a tune in or turn into whatever program that you're interested in at the moment, you are also becoming a part of that program. That program is also manifesting through you. It changes you in ways that are extremely subtle. But then it's like being, getting on the computer when you've had all of those little cookies stored. And the cookies tell you the next time you come in, okay, this is what you might like, that's what you might like. And in reading recently that a lot of our activities are basically bots on the internet, that 70% of, I think, every third hit on a website is supposedly a bot hit. That's what I saw most recently in some of the studies that they do on our behaviors. And when you think about that, that's manufactured. Some of it's helpful. Some of it is disruptive. But it says there's another element contributing to our programming that we may not have accounted for. And in so many ways, this is changing us. And it's creating a lot of dis-ease, discomfort, and distraction. So if you can detach yourself from that and understand, in some ways this is very helpful, but you are still the one who is co-creating. And when you tune into something, you give it an opportunity to reformat you. One of the examples, I was reading stuff by Carlos Castaneda. I wasn't a fan. My husband at the time was. And I thought, well, he'll like this book. I saw the newest book out. It was back in 1998. And in the book, it talked about this certain element, this being, this little candle-like being. And I'm, reading it thinking, it's fiction and he's been discredited. And so some of this is real, some of this isn't. Well, as I was watching television, sitting on the couch right beside me, peripheral vision, is this little thing that looked like it was a feather attached to a string, a little candle-like light form that was lit up, and a ribbon right beside me. And of course, if I look at it head on, it's not there. But when I look sideways, I can see it beside, just playing. And and as we went into the bookstore and I opened that book that I was going to hand over to somebody else because they might benefit from it, he looked at me and said, "No, I don't think so." And I opened the book to the point where I had just seen that. I was like, good grief, that's what I needed to see in that moment at that time to validate that reality for me, to remind me that there are other things happening here that we are not tuning into. There's this other element, this spirit component, this non-corporeal component that is right beside us. And I've had enough experiences with that to shift my own reality enough to know that whatever we think is happening right here front and center at this moment, there are also multitudes of other things going on. Whether it's in another part of the planet, another part of the galaxy, another dimension, another timeline, there are so many opportunities to reframe and reformat what we are going through at this moment. We have a whole lot of escape clauses, a whole lot of out clauses, a whole lot of opportunities to be more creative, more inventive, more enthusiastic, more optimistic, and more empowered. Beginning with remembering where you're focusing. Who are you allowing to shift your present? To take charge, to take center stage. What's soap opera? That's what most of this is. It's a soap opera. It's good, it's bad, it's sad, it's happy. All of that is a perception. And some of it is a very ugly perception. And yet, there are some beautiful perceptions. Again, these are ways that we are actively manifesting and creating reality. If you have an opportunity to step back and check your thoughts, it helps. When you make time to step back and check your thoughts, you are empowering yourself to reclaim your creator ability, your connection with a higher purpose, your connection with a truth that has nothing to do with anything else but your sense of I am. So when these things are happening in the outer plane, the outer reality, the inner creator is actually hard at work, whether it's on autopilot or it's being driven and actively engaged, is up to you. Autopilot is breathing. That's what happens. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to do it. Just it goes. It happens. It is. You are, without effort, being. Thinking requires effort. It requires intention, and it requires presence. Oftentimes, because it requires all of that energy, we allow ourselves to step into autopilot, driving a car, going the same path to work, home, wherever, and engaging because it's happened so many hundreds, thousands of times, the same manner of going with the traffic. Except one day, somebody else is there. Whether it's a police officer or a car wreck or a cat that causes a disruption. And if you are truly an autopilot, you're headed for an abrupt awakening. But if you're understanding and knowing and going with the flow, in some way, shape, or form, you are still intending to be alert, to be awake. You're not multitasking. You're present tasking. You're giving yourself permission to look for the nuance, to look for that moment of insight, that little spark that could be there as the cat rushes out away from you. Because at that very moment, you looked over at a sign and slowed the car for no reason. That's actually being in sync. That's actually being connected on that higher level of awareness. For some reason, it happened, and it made you pause and redirect your efforts and your thoughts. We're going to continue.
I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization, yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Today might be the day I drop out of school, but you might be able to stop me. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60 because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Wendy, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate you giving thought to all that you're doing and all that you are creating and all that you have at your fingertips in terms of potential. Potential so much in terms of imagination, abilities, awareness, beliefs. And if you go back and look at that and say, where did it come from? Did I have it before I showed up here? Have I acquired it after? Have I been in some way, shape, or form programmed, conditioned, socialized? And yeah, the answer is to all of that, of course, of course. Those are the baby steps to get here and say, okay, this is how you're going to operate on this plane. Now you can deviate. Once you get your land legs, then you can deviate. But first, the programming was to kind of give you a head start. And it may have been positive, it may have been negative. It was programming, nothing more. So going back and first cleaning house in terms of all that baggage, taking a look at it, you know, if some of it's rotten, throw it out. If some of it's still a work in process, work on it. Get your paints out. Start working with your colors. All right, this was black and blue. Well, it's pink now. That's a sign of healing. And eventually it'll be back to clear. But what happens is a lot of this, we end up being, at whatever age, settled and determined and in some way, shape, or form, labeled as a certain being, producer, creator. I don't want to get into the job titles, but we have some kind of an identity. And whether that identity is thrust upon us because of circumstances, or if we are claiming and demanding that this is our identity, this is how you should see us. Well, that doesn't help. It doesn't help. So the thing is, as long as you know who you are and your purpose, you've done your job. What everybody else calls it is opinion. It's their interpretation of how you are manifesting on them. And if you want to go up the ladder or expand out of this particular box into a really, really cool place, the one thing that is a negative that can call you and be held in a way that you are asked to reconsider what your purpose was, is to intentionally harm. When you want the magic in the world, you want the keys to the doors that most people don't see, but are there. The awareness that allows you to go from one plane to another with no effort and no need for instructions, because it's just a state of being. You shift your state, you shift your plane, you shift your awareness, and you transition. It's basically the equivalent of being able to step out of your body with hours of practice, or just all of a sudden you popped out and then you pop back in. Only you can do it at will. Oh, I need a better perspective. I need an overview. I'll step out. The body continues, breathing continues, everything goes forward. That's the shamanic ability. But the thing is, when you work with people and you're around people, and you learn from people who have those abilities, they really, really hold tight and fast to those truths and the keys for development. Because if they're given to one who hasn't become a little more advanced than a teenager and is still playing and breaking as many rules as possible just to make sure they're really broken, and is there coming back? No. And basically, the fallout from others is what the problem is. The harm you do to yourself is inconsequential. It has to do with, are you bothering, hurting, impeding, in any way, shape, or form, damaging, derailing, disempowering, brutalizing, bullying, treating another or others, all multiple planes, the entire environment? We're not just talking about, you know, running over an acorn on the driveway. All this stuff has energy, presence, consciousness. All of this stuff is part of our holographic experience. And as we engage and we become more present, we see these elements. We see the way it connects. We have these other experiences. Sometimes it's doled out like, you know, one carrot at a time. And other times you just get the whole bag dumped on you. It's like, whoa! And it takes years to reconcile it. But that's what's happening now for a lot of people all over the planet. There's this awakening, this huge, incredible shift saying, my gosh, these things are real. Whoa, holy cow. And it doesn't matter how many people say they aren't. An experiencer has a whole different deck of cards. So it isn't just a one-off. It isn't just an instantaneous fraction of a second delusion. It's a reality shift. And when that reality shifts, the being shifts as well, because all of a sudden you had an awakening to an entirely different way of being, an entirely different worldview, state of reality. One of the things I like about the sci-fi writers, Philip Dick is one who wrote a lot of stuff and was certifiable on many occasions. But he had an encounter with the pink light that he talks about. They talk about it in one of the biographies. And the thing, though, it shifted him, because he had this outrageous encounter. He didn't know what to do with it, but it gave him a whole lot of inspiration and other ways of manifesting and creating stories that helped other people get from, you know, point A to point B, up from level -4 to level +50, because of these different ways of seeing and thinking and being. So sometimes, even though it's a difficult process for the person who's having the experience to undergo, there's another woman I'm going to be talking to, Kirsana Duran, I think is the author. She got books from another lady. I believe the name is Ida. That was what I was trying to find, the name Ida. Anyway, the woman had these experiences with what she called time travelers in the 40s. And so she was absolutely sure that this is, boy, I'm off the deep end with this. I'm crazy. And yet when the two compared notes, because she wanted proof, the two compared notes, and this is a story from Kirsana, is that they found out they were experiencing the same things. And so that was her backup. And of all that, though, she didn't have a lot to go on, and she kept having the experiences. And that's my stuff with the night lights and with this other non-corporeal element that comes in and says, okay, be aware of this. Okay, that's going to happen. All right, now this is going to happen. This is personal. It doesn't do me any good to put it on a website and say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. It doesn't do me any good to frighten the crap out of everybody else, okay? That just doesn't work. Because there's also an out clause. Something may shift it. And if it's a good outcome, and I tell all these people, and they are still frightened to the core, they will not see it. It will not happen. So the deal is, for a lot of this prophecy stuff, is that if you are frightened to the core, you bring it to you because you are so incredibly good at manifesting what you're focusing on. And so if you keep writing down daily, this, that, you're walking it into being. So when you let somebody else give you, whether it's a psychic reading, whether it's a prophecy, whether it's a gift of you're going to go far, you are determining to follow that cord, to pull that into fruition. You are making that a reality. And the way to be present is to say, that's a possibility. That has a lot of potential. Or, maybe not. You have free will. Free will isn't about, there's so many ways of interpreting it. It basically means, get the word away from it, you can create. You can create. You are creating. And if you remember all the time, whatever happens, you are creating. No matter what's happening to you, you create your reaction. You create your projection, your attitude, your perception. Those are yours. All of that is yours. So come back to center and say, how do I choose to see this? How did I choose to see that? That's when you can let a lot of that baggage go. There was another thing recently I saw in terms of an expression, a way of getting around an obstacle. And it was saying, remember the event and remember the person that happened and you thought at the time was such a negative, mean, awful event. The only way, or the best way, the optimum way of getting beyond that is to understand what you are attached to isn't that person. It isn't that event. It's the emotion that it gave you, the emotion, the feeling, whatever dis it left you with is what can be shifted and dissolved, because you no longer let that emotion hold you hostage. That's basically PhD work, okay? We get here and we have all these emotions and they all go into play before we have any idea that they exist and that they're a part of it and we can change them, and they're just happening. They continue to happen with every encounter, with every expression, every event. These emotions are subconscious. They're below the surface. And in that way, that's our homework. That's our homework. And knowing that you have emotion, everybody else does too. So when you come back to creating and you realize the output also has an input for somebody else, you tread lighter. You walk around the bugs. You make an effort not to kill all the insects, not to cut down all the trees, not to burn all the grass, and not to eat every animal that has been determined as a food source. You become less consumer driven and more eco friendly. And I don't mean just plants, animals, and trees. You become more aware of how incredibly powerful your actions are, our actions are, as creators and beings. And the one thing you have to get over immediately is the mistake element. You are going to make them. They're in the program. Someone who has lost and someone who has made a mistake, and no, there are many mistakes, has a better appreciation and awareness and empathy for others who are faced with the same choices that sometimes lead to mistakes. So right now, with all this chaos, all this upheaval, all of this obstacle stuff, we are forced to get off center, come back to being present where you are now, where you have the utmost opportunity to create a higher form of connection with your reality. A form that isn't just about moving, that isn't just about walking, going through the day to day, but about engaging with that spirit element that says, am I in the right place at the right time? I feel a need to pay attention. Something is calling. What am I missing? What is the element? Where is the light? Where's the door? Where's the next level? It's here. It's here. It always has been. But we had to evolve to a point where it became important enough for us to start reaching out, grasping for that hand, whether it's an elemental hand, a spirit hand, an angel hand, the upper hand. It isn't always present in the manifest. It is present with your telepathic ability, with your sense ability. You have it. It tells you where to go to be at the right place at the right time, to experience a win or a loss, to experience a confrontation, to experience something at a level that you may already have passed that course, and now you're going back to see how well you ingrained it and integrated it and allowed it to become your part of your new framework. This isn't easy. It isn't meant to be. It's meant to be a challenge, but it also isn't meant to be all doom and gloom. It's meant to be, okay, how can I turn this in a form that it will still make a point without leaving a big dent? How can I do that? Well, that's the question now, isn't it? It'll be different for everybody. If you read J.K. Rowling's tweets, you'll get an example of how you can turn it without leaving a big dent for everybody, except the bot that might have been the source rather than a real person. You can dance on water. You can make it look as if that's exactly what you intended, because in all honesty, from the spirit plane, it is. These are the things that give us purpose, that give us freedom, that give us flexibility, adaptability, agility, wings. We grow them when we are ready to see the world for more than just a place to park a car, to build a highway. When we see the world as a place full of active beings who roam the deserts, the forest, the mountains, these other beings are here with us, and they are present in spirit and present in physical form. They live here amongst us, in the backyard, the birds, the trees, the grass. Instead of trying to dominate, we gain that awareness that we can coordinate and we can become, in some way, shape, or form, more aware of the need to be caretakers rather than conquest oriented. So with all that's happening right now, and the questions I've had have to do with some of this other stuff. How do you maintain focus? What you're not participating. You're not taking a stand. You're not fighting. You're not protesting. You're not going out and saying, this will not stand for me. You're not protecting. But yeah, you are protecting when you're saying, I will tune out of all the things that create disease for others on a broad scale. I no longer hold a space open for that. I no longer entertain that. I allow it to be what it is, and it can flow. That's okay. It has its own vein, its own purpose, its own direction. But I don't have to take it in. I don't have to put that in my diet. What I can put in my diet is a thing that allows me to see the children coming up with all their hopes, all their dreams, all their beliefs, and knowing that they have the answers they need to get us to the next phase. They are born with the answers that we need to get us to the next phase. And if I can encourage those who are the creators, those who are the free thinkers, the imagineers, those who have been on the other side and are just now getting here, full of hope, promise, and enthusiasm, if I can encourage that element, because adults have it too. We haven't outgrown it. We just put the lampshade on so that we would look like everybody else and no one would make fun of us anymore. Time to take the lampshade off, okay? You can do it. It's all right. And just get over the giggling. But that's part of what it is. It's that freedom to think up a better result. Don't tell me what the problem is. I can see problems. What I can't see is a solution. That's where I am a creator. And when I can focus on, instead of pointing out the problem and saying and talking and and this is what you're doing, by pointing it out every time, creating the problem, I will refresh and reveal a solution. I've been in broadcasting a long time. One of the guys way back in the beginning had the source, but he said, when you coach people, there's a difference between the coach who goes out and tells the kicker, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Every time the kicker, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And the kicker, you know, after hearing that 50 or 100 times, he does it wrong. There's just no way to get around the wrong because, well, that's what's being programmed. The difference between that kind of coach and a coach who goes out to the kicker and says, turn your foot to the left. He gave him a solution. Now, whether the kicker can do that, that's a whole different story. But if he can, he gave him a solution. So when you're looking at everything that's wrong and everything that needs to be changed, this is the meaning of be the change you wish to see in the world. If you do not have something positive to add to the equation, put that on the back burner. Reintegrate that. Okay? Reintegrate that negative, that challenge, that in some way, shape, or form, not a compliment, insult. Integrate that energy into a solution, a redirect, an example of, well, what if we tried this? That's where we all win. We all win. So when you're confused and when you are questioning and you have doubt and everything is just going to heck in a handbasket, go back and say, what action can I do right now that will help me become more centered, more focused, more present in my own ability to create an outcome that will reveal or present a higher awareness, a higher form of a response, and practice, because you will see it manifest. You will see people come up to you who had never approached you before because all of a sudden they had an idea and you inspired it by saying, I am open to innovative solutions. I am open to unanticipated upgrades. I am open to miracles. And I'm looking for them now. I know there are miracles and they're happening right now. I am open to seeing the best outcome that can possibly manifest, that will benefit all. And then I make room for that to happen. And I don't anticipate that I will recognize it. You know? But I do anticipate that I will feel better in the doing. Okay? We are not here to have the answers. We're here to create them. So you create your answer. And wherever you go, with all that you are, all that you have been, and all that you will be, you are blessed in the doing, in the learning, in the growing, the achieving, the expanding, the creating, the being. Because that's what you've come here to do, to be more, to know more. And it didn't happen with a book or with another person, another event. It happened within you. Because when you leave and you step out to the next level and you turn around and look behind you and go, oh my gosh, that was the dream. Oh, wow. That was the dream. You're here now. Give it the best you've got. Because now is where it happens. This is the moment of manifesting, this being, this expressing, experiencing, engaging, embracing, breathing. With every breath, every moment, every second, every nanosecond, you are a part of that divine spark that said, oh, what if I give it a try? What can I do? Let's see. Am I going to run amok? Maybe. Am I going to ace it? Maybe. I'm going to give it a shot. Here I am. What next? All right. Thank you for listening. All right. You can check in some of the shows that are, there's so many people here with so many fabulous ideas and so many wonderful contributions. The shows are on Empower Radio. Also, I do a show, Wendy's Coffee House. Follow the blog. It's just fun. It's just fun. And remember, this too shall pass. I want to see you at the next level. I hope I'll be there. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.